Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey, folks, I'll tell you what. Have you ever felt burnout? Well, you know what? I make it a point not to. But Casey here did go through some burnout, but he's found a really cool system and process to avoid entrepreneurial burnout. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Carrie.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, give people this little bio of you, because you've done a lot of businesses, and you know, we met and we even talked about you potentially running our business at one point. And, you know, it wasn't the right time or fit right at the moment, but you've added a ton of value to my life and you do that quite often. So why don't you give us a little story?
Yeah, sure. So I've been, I guess, an entrepreneur since I was a little kid kind of thing. You know, I'm in middle school and I figured out, all right, my neighbors needed their yards to get cut kind of thing. And I would do it and get a few bucks. And then I would hire other friends and all that kind of stuff. And I would no longer cut grass anymore. And they would do it. And I'd get $5. And all I had to do is connect the person that needed something to the person that could deliver something. And I think from then it was kind of, all right, what's the next business? What's the next way to make money? And I did it with umpiring too. I was a umpire in high school and college. And I'm like, I don't necessarily want to umpire games, but I know people that want to do it. And I would connect somebody that had a need with somebody that could fulfill the need. And I've been doing that, my entire career. And that was how I got my, cut my teeth.
I think that's next level, because even though you were young, there really is a jump mentally by saying I can exchange one unit of time for X amount of dollars. It's a whole nother level to say, whoa, I could be actually connecting people and taking the risk of maybe it being a bad connection, but thinking of management, thinking of recruitment, like it just brings in a next level. And as a young kid, I don't think I had that next level thinking. So what do you think brought that about?
I don't know. I think probably saw my dad do different businesses and figure out ways to generate, you know, income without having to have a typical 9-to-5 type of job. And he had some entrepreneurial wins, but also some losses. So I saw the good of being an entrepreneur and being your own boss. And I also saw the bad and the downside. And I guess my life, I figured out, all right, how do I minimize the things that I saw that went wrong in our family regarding being your own boss versus what did he do right kind of thing? And I created my own kind of game plan of, how do I run a business or get paid for doing something that maybe I'm not there all the time? And I got my real estate license in college, Carrie, but I was like, I don't want to show homes on Saturdays and Sundays or nights and weekends.
That's next level.
And I started buying investment properties instead and hiring management companies. So it wasn't easy. Like, it sounds easy the way I say it, but it was really difficult. And you got to surround yourself with other people that have already figured it out. And that, Carrie, is probably the thing that I did that I was really most proud of, is I hired an advisor as soon as I could get enough money to pay somebody, you know, $500 an hour. Cause I'm like, if I could, you know, get some life hacks, some business hacks and figure out a shortcut to success, that's what I wanted to do. And that's how I got started.
I'm telling you, man, next level. All right. Well, talk to us then. Success came, and what? Can you have too much of a good thing?
Yeah. I mean, I had these goals that I wrote down, and I think we all have them, or they're at least in our head. I suggest everybody write down their goals and make them smart, meaning, all right, where do you want to be 3 years from now kind of thing, 1 year from now kind of thing. And that's what I did. And then I shared those goals with somebody. So I had some sort of commitment or some sort of accountability. And I think, Carrie, that's where a lot of people get it wrong. They might have these goals, but they don't write them down. And then they don't write them down and they're not as detailed enough. And then they don't share them with somebody. And then they don't have that accountability partner to kind of help them. But I did. So I wrote these goals down and I accomplished the things that I wrote down. And I'm in my, I guess, mid-20s. And I had, you know, a successful exit and had a bunch of money at the time and could basically just kind of say, all right, I'm done. But I had this fuel in me and this thing I wanted to do and build. And I think I had some pure motivations, but I also had some unpure motivations. I think I was trying to prove to myself that I was good at being a business owner or being an entrepreneur. And the trick in that is, no matter how good you do, there's always somebody that's farther down the road or better or bigger or whatever. So I kind of got into that trap, and you know, I worked for years, a lot of hours, and put in a lot of time and built some successful things, but got burned out because, you know, ultimately I didn't know how to surround myself with a team, and I'm still not great at it. I think I'm good at it, but I allow other people to help me. Like, how do you build a team? How do you build a culture? How do you build an organization that doesn't rely on you, the owner, to be the engine behind it? Because my engine got overheated and I burn out. And that's what I had to do. I had to go through fires of hiring and having good people on my team, but burning them out because I didn't let them just do a good job. I always expected perfection from myself and others, and not everybody's going to do it as good as I'm going to do it. And I had to realize that good enough is okay sometimes. Like,
yeah,
there's this book out there, Good to Great, but at the end of the day, like, an 8 or 9 out of 10 is okay if other people can do it, which would free me up to doing other things that I might love to do. And I got burnt out because I was doing it all and nobody could do it as good as me. So I'm doing the jobs of 8 people. And over a couple year period, my engine burnt out and I had to figure out, all right, what do I do now? And that's when I kind of went on the journey of figuring out, is there a better way to be an entrepreneur, to be a business owner versus running my business?
So what'd you do?
What did I do?
As in, like, yeah, now you almost help coach people
mm-hmm.
about burnout. Do you have questions or a process? Or I often tell authors, hey, a framework is just a solution broken down into simple steps.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Is there any steps?
Yeah. So first I had to solve the solution for myself. Like, mm-hmm. I had to do it. And I think there's a lot of coaches, consultants out there that haven't necessarily done it themselves. So it's kind of hard, like, helping other people through things they haven't been through. Like, there's all these coaches out there and these people that help other entrepreneurs, but like, they're not an entrepreneur. And I know you might just be a good coach or ask good questions, but it's also helpful to have other people that have been on a similar journey. So I had to solve it myself. So I had a business. It was going great. We were a $2 million company. Bottom line was super profitable, but I saw a much bigger vision, but I couldn't do it myself. So I had to humble myself and ask for help. And I brought in a couple of strategic business partners, and those partners did stuff for our business that I did not want to do. And I was not even good at, but the business needed those things in order to grow and thrive. So I first solved it myself. I figured out a way to, you know, keep working 50, 60 hour weeks, but do the things in those 50 to 60 hour weeks that I love to do and I was great at, which it didn't feel like I was working because those were the things I love. So I had to first get myself out of the running the day-to-day operations of my business by associating myself with the right team. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then we went from a $2 million business to a $10 million business in a couple year period. And it was great. So I did it myself. I figured out, what do I have to do? And then now I basically help other people do the same. So I work a lot with entrepreneurs. They have a company, they already have employees, right? They got 5 to call it 50 employees, but they're the ones that if they took 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off, Carrie, like, stuff's not getting done, like, anywhere near at the rate it needs to get done, or the capacity, or the of the success factors, right? Like, the business is really running them, because if they're not there, like, it's just not working. So I first help entrepreneurs figure out, all right, what are the things that they do that they know nobody else can do? Like, what's their unique gift? What's their thing that they should be spending their time on? And then it's looking at all the other things that they're actually doing that they don't need to do anymore, that they could delegate. Because if you can figure out the things you need to stop doing, then that will free you up to do more things. And I think a lot of people, they write down their to-do list, but I like to write down my, like, don't list, like, stop doing list. It's almost more important. Michael Hyatt talks about it in the book Free to Focus, where it's like your stop doing list. Like, what do you need to stop doing? So I first ask people, what are you doing right now that doesn't really move the needle? What are you doing right now that you can delegate? And that's the very first step of anything.
That's great. I love that. Where did you go to college, or did you go?
Yeah, I went to a small school up in Northern Indiana called Goshen College. I was a baseball player, and I kind of said, all right, I need to go play somewhere where I know I'm not going to sit the bench. So I went to a super small school, didn't really pay attention all that much in class. I don't even know what my major was. I think it was sports management. And I just went to badminton class and cycling class. And I'm not sure, honestly, how I even stayed eligible because I really wasn't fired up about school. Wow. I love baseball. And then I transferred to Purdue University, got my real estate license, and then kind of realized that school wasn't really my thing. And if I could figure out a way to go and build things and start things, that's what I ultimately wanted to do.
I asked another guest recently, you know, by the way, do you know Gina Wickman of EOS? Sure
thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Operating system. Yeah. So he didn't go to college and he wrote a book called Entrepreneurial Leap, where he basically interviewed entrepreneurs who went to college and he said, you know, was it worth it? Did you learn from your degree? Would you do it over again? And I thought it came up with a great question, a great answer, because, you know, a lot of times we hear yes or no. You should absolutely go. You should absolutely not. What he said was, the people he asked, the majority said, it's not the degree that was what they walked away with that they saw as the most valuable. It was the experience. It was the connections.
Sure.
It was the thinking patterns, you know, versus the, hey, I got a degree and now I'm fully using it. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? You know, because we all are, quote, educated as entrepreneurs, but some of us have mentors, experiences, other types of things. What would you say?
Well, one, I would encourage, it's ultimately who you hang out with and who you associate yourself with and your network. So I think going to college is a great thing for the majority of people because it allows you to build relationships. It allows you to grow up. It allows you to figure out what you like and, more importantly, what you don't like. So looking at college, I mean, I still am close with a lot of my friends that I played baseball with or went to school with. And those are lifelong relationships. And I think a lot of people, whether they're 18 or 19 years old and they're getting out of the house, they're not ready yet for work.
Yeah.
So whether you go into the workforce, if you go into the workforce, make sure you're working for a boss you really admire and you respect and you trust. But it's hard as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid to spend your time working at a job where you're actually around people that are great people that are knowledgeable, that are going to teach you, because majority of 18, 19 year olds, they're just going to throw you in a factory or they're going to throw you behind a counter and tell you, just do this. So I think college does give you an opportunity to learn and to network. And that's ultimately what I did. I learned how to probably think and figure out a way to get stuff done in less time. Because for me, life is about efficiency. Like if you want to do something and you're required or tasked to doing something you don't like to do, like figure out an easy, simple way to get stuff done. And I did that with my schooling. I figured out a way to stay eligible by doing the least amount of work I possibly could in the classroom because it didn't fire me up. And I think there's some people that go to college where they just want to play baseball and that's great, but you got to do the classroom work. But if you have, if you're in school and you find something you really love and you're taking classes you really love, I think that will you know, be something that wins both ways.
That's awesome. So now you are, I know you had a child. Was this your second one?
Yeah.
Okay. So how does it change as being a dad now? You know, like in other words, entrepreneurship, maybe you were an entrepreneur single, married, father, like father too. How does that change?
Yeah, I think whoever's listening to this, there's just phases and stages of life. There's some where you have a lot of time and a lot of energy to get stuff done. And if you do, build something amazing. Like think about what are you building today that can provide for you for the rest of your life? Because there's going to be certain times in your life where you're not going to have time. Maybe your health isn't where it needs to be and you can't work as hard as you want. Or maybe your loved ones or your kids or your family members need you. So where I'm at now is I'm in a good place, but I don't have nearly as much time and as much energy as I used to have because I'm in my upper 30s now and I don't have as much energy as I did when I was 30. I was single at 30, married at 31, a dad at 36-ish. Wow. So I think right now I'm at a phase where I'm spending my time like optimizing and building leaders around me. And I think if I would have done that earlier in my life, I'd probably be a lot better off because I did a lot of work myself, but I realized you know what, I can't build a business on my own. And I think if I would have figured out how to build and pour into other leaders early on in my career, I'd probably have to work a lot less now. I don't work a ton now. I mostly do advisory for existing businesses where I empower other people, but life does change. And I would just consider figure out how to build other leaders and invest in other people's lives. Because ultimately, if you can help other people get what you want or what they want, you're going to get what you need. And I don't think I really understood that till, you know, a little bit later in my entrepreneurial career.
You got a podcast. You have some great downloads. What are people going to get if they download these guides? You have creating a culture of ownership.
Yeah.
And you have gain control of your business. I know a lot of people are watching on video, but we have some on audio as well. And so this is all found at Casey Cavell, CAVELL.com. What are people going to get here?
Yeah. So the guide right there, gain control of your business. That's good for an entrepreneur or a business owner that's running a business right now and wants some more time back. I have a focus, Friday focus newsletter that I send out every Friday that helps entrepreneurs focus and leaders focus. Cause I think that's the thing that ultimately, prevents people from getting what they want. They don't know what they want. It's not written down. And then they don't focus on doing the right things to get it done. So the Friday focus newsletter, that's what that's about. And then I do have a podcast. It's called The Dugout CEO. It's a lot of leaders in life, whether they're entrepreneurs, they're coaches, they're pastors, they're administrators. And my whole thing is helping people become MVPs at what they do. We have a little bit of a baseball theme, thus The Dugout CEO. A little bit of a baseball theme. So if you're a sports person, I think you'll love who we talk to. And even if you're not, you're getting simple, applicable tools, tips, and wisdom on how to win. And whether it's how to win at home or how to win in the boardroom or whatever, that's why I created that podcast.
What's next? I mean, you got the little ones growing up. You have the advising going on. Where do you live right now, by the way?
Yeah. So I'm in Atlanta. So just on the north side of the city. What's next? So I love helping entrepreneurs. So I'm looking always for another business owner that wants to grow and probably 10x their company, super growth minded, super open minded, that wants to grow and scale. And they realize they've taken the business to a point where they need help. They're stuck in their business. And I just basically connect. I might be the person to help you, or I might know somebody that, you know, can help them. And that's what I do. So I love entrepreneurs that want to grow companies, and I help give them the tools and teach them from how I've done it myself, and help empower them to get what they want.
You also got into some Web3 stuff, and that's kind of how we connected originally as well, as we both kind of enjoy that. I've moved into the blockchain space with intellectual property, and you still have a foot, you know, I would say that it's very rare that you have someone with your caliber of experience, expertise, who also understands Web3. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Web3 is a big topic, but Meta just launched their new, you know, VR headset. Yeah. What are you seeing trend wise for people who say, you know, that tech stuff, whatever, I'm not going to get involved, but like, should we be aware? Should all entrepreneurs be kind of like looking and seeing what's coming? What do you think?
Probably not all, but curious ones. You know, blockchain technology, it's going to change the way we do life and the way we do business, just the way the internet changed the way we do life and business. We're still in the early, if you remember back to the 90s when we had to dial up and get on the internet and all of that kind of stuff. Like, we're in that type of phase right now for blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies and digital goods and all of that. So we're still really early. But if I was young, right, in my 20s, I'd probably start learning this stuff because it is going to impact and change the world. We're moving to a digital society. That's just the way it is. You know, your worth and your value ultimately in a business setting is on your ability to attract attention and get people to buy whatever you're selling. So how do you do that? Well, buying a billboard on the highway is probably not the best investment of your dollars anymore, right? Buying billboards on the internet, right? Or ads, stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of change that's going to happen with it. I mean, the books that you've written on it, I think is great. I've read that. I mean, it simplifies blockchain life that you wrote. Like, it simplifies what blockchain is and how it could impact you. So, you know, if you're in an industry that is impacted by technology, I mean, look at AI and stuff's doing. Like, it's really cool. Like, I didn't want to learn about it, but when I took a half a day and just started reading about it, then I started using the technology and it made my life better and easier. Like, absolutely. So, yeah, I think that's, I don't really have any specific answers outside of I'm still getting educated on it.
Man, that's good. Let's talk about your faith a little bit. So I think we've connected on that standpoint as well, but
yeah,
how important is the spiritual life as well?
Sure. You know, I didn't really have any faith for the majority of, I guess, my early years. Didn't really hit me till my mid 20s that I needed something else besides just Casey to be okay. And when I wrote down these goals, Carrie, of what I wanted to accomplish, and I hit these goals, and I woke up the next day saying, all right, what's wrong? Like, I'm not healed. I'm not better. I'm not, I'm like more discontent than I ever was. And I think a lot of people get to that point in their lives where they're just wondering, is this it? Like, what's the purpose? Why am I here? Like, what is going on here?
Wow.
And I got there early on and I said, is there more? What else is this? Why am I not okay? Why do I not feel good? Why am I anxious? Why am I stressed? Why am I worried? Why do I care so much about what other people think and say? And why am I always feel like I'm off track or behind schedule? And a friend of mine told me to read the Bible. And I'm like, come on, that's the last thing. I don't want to read the Bible. Tell me what to do to fix it. Cause I'm a fixer. I know how to fix things, fix businesses. And I'm like, tell me how do I fix myself, Tom? Because, and that was a gentleman's name. He goes, well, you can't really fix you. And I'm like, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Cause I'm an action taker.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks went by, Carrie. And I then finally read the Bible for the first time. And I turned to the book of John, and the book of John is in the New Testament. And it's basically the story of Jesus's life by one of the people that followed him around. And I read it and it talked a lot about how, you know, there's this thing called living water. And it's like, I'm like, what's living water? I know what water is. And the world gives you water. The world will always tell you, hey, do this and it'll quench your thirst and you'll be good and you'll be satisfied. But the world actually leaves you more and more hungry, and more thirsty, the more you get. And this living water thing was like, okay, well, what is this living water? And Jesus talks about it. And I'm like, this makes sense why I'm discontent and I'm unhappy and I'm not satisfied with my life. So I just read the book of John and I said, if this is true, then it explains a few things and it might make sense to try some of these things because it's not going to get any worse.
Right.
And this is coming from a guy that was financially well off and on the outside looked okay. And whoever's listening to this, I just want to encourage you that if you got that thing you said you wanted and you're not okay, or you're feeling discontent, well, where is your contentment coming from? And then if you think you want to accomplish things, and once you accomplish those things, where it's a new job or a graduation or a title, like, when you think you get those things, it's going to make everything better. Like, it's not. You're still going to be hungry. You're still going to be thirsty. And for me, Carrie, it was through a relationship with Jesus Christ that actually like satisfied my soul. It allowed me like peace on earth. And it's not like this, oh, I'm happy every day kind of thing. And the world's great and all of that. It's a struggle and it's a battle, but it gave me hope because this world, it's a tough place. Death, disease, divorce, bankruptcy, stress, tension, anxiety. It's a tough place. And for me, for people that don't have a hope in what's next, I mean, that would be a hard way to live if this world is the only thing that matters.
Absolutely. I mean, you go to Twitter, X.
Sure.
And I mean, right now, you know, I'm not going to say what's going on because I'll date the podcast, but there's some crazy stuff going on, you know, and I can look at that and be like, okay, I know what the end of the game looks like. I know what the end score looks like. I don't have to freak out and stress out. And honestly, that I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Christ as my rock. So sure. Great. Well said. Besides your website, caseycavell.com, what other things, like maybe you got a book in you, Casey? What do you think?
Gosh, I know who would help me write it. That's for sure. Because what I've realized, if I want to write a book, I want to go to somebody that knows how to help people do it, because I don't want to wing it myself. So, yeah, maybe. But no, that's it. Just caseycavell.com. Hopefully you get the Friday Focus newsletter, and it's a little 90-second read, and hopefully it'll help you.
But and you that's, got the coaching, you got the advising, and you're always looking for what's the next business leader I can help.
Sure. That's it. Well said.
That's good. Well, listen, man, thanks for being here. You're the one who told me a few days before VCon, hey man, I got an extra ticket. You want to roll? And that was fun going there. Oh my gosh. We got to tell that quick story. Was I sharing a scooter with you, or was it somebody else? I don't
remember. Yeah. Was yeah. And it was. And in VCon, it's a conference. Gary Vaynerchuk puts it on. And it's awesome because it gives you an opportunity. And I think they're going to be another one next year in LA.
Sure.
But it gives you an opportunity to sit and just be and just listen from experts that are great at whatever it is they're teaching. And for me, I'm like, I know you're a lifelong learner, and I'm like, who do I know that would love to just go and invest in themselves? And yeah, we went to this conference and spent the day together and listened to all kinds of different speakers. And then that night we were going, gosh, I think for dinner, and they have these little scooters that you rent. And there was only, I think I got the last one. I'm like, Carrie, hop on. So I have no idea how, but we shared this little Razor scooter, and
filmed it.
Yeah, we high rolled it through downtown Indianapolis, and we think we survived, and it was a good memory.
Oh, I loved it. We went to Whole Foods. I mean, the whole thing was amazing. But you know, we heard Tim Tebow, we heard that Animal Whisperer guy, Drew Barrymore. I mean, there was a lot of Eric Thomas, Kathy Hackle. So it was a really good event. But no, I appreciate you, Casey. Great value today. And folks, check out caseycavell.com, the CEO Dugout Podcast. Thanks for being here, my friend.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.